Monday, February 12th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Happy Monday to everyone out there listening. Time to get back to work after what I hope was a restful weekend. But I'm telling you right now, today is a very, very important day, so don't slack too much. Just throwing that out there. You cannot afford to take this Monday, February 12th, lightly. No, I'm not talking about Valentine's Day. Not talking about any of that kind of nonsense. I know we have some things to prepare for this week, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something with far bigger implications. I'm talking about something with far bigger consequences than Valentine's Day. I know that's hard to imagine. I'm talking about something with far bigger consequences than Valentine's Day, though. I'm talking about something that today, on this Monday, could follow you in life. And even beyond, even past life. Yes, because today, February 12th, is National Clean Out Your Computer Day.
What?
Hey, playtime is over on this Monday, right? I know last week, day after the Super Bowl, we're all feeling pretty good, unless you're a Patriots fan. Like, we're all just coming off a big celebration, and you had the big party. Yeah, this week, no, it's serious. It is serious. So yes, we have to clean out our computers on this Monday. Go get those junk files cleaned out. Go get those emails that you know you no longer need, but you're still keeping them for no reason. Go clean out all those apps. You don't use half of those apps. You know you never use those. Maybe your kid installed them on your computer. You installed them one time thinking, oh yeah, I'll use that someday. You know you're never going to use that. Go clean that stuff out. And most importantly, more important than any of it, go clean out those files that you probably shouldn't have to begin with. Yeah, you know the ones I'm talking about. Those ones that if something ever happened to you, if you were ever in some sort of an accident or something bad took place, you would hope that a close friend or someone would go delete those files for you without judgment on your person. You know the one I'm talking about. Yeah, do your friend a favor. Go delete them today. Get those taken care of, and don't have that awkward conversation later. And you know, nobody wants to be playing that 911 tape later of you asking the operator, oh my God, I got this bad thing to ask you. Can you please go to my house, find the file on my home computer marked favorite church hymns, and just wipe that thing out? Please, I'm begging you. Nobody wants to hear that. We all know what's in that file. No one needs to see it later. That celebrity never meant for anyone else to see those photos. Do the right thing today, February 12th, and go delete them. Hey, if you would like to contact the show and tell us what celebrity photos you are refusing to delete today, we'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a comment. Maybe you've got a suggestion. Maybe you want to tell us what photos that you're still keeping, no matter what we said. Whatever it might be, we would love to hear from you. Hey, today on the show, we've got a number of things to get to. We will be recapping the weekend in sports. Yes, I know, football is over. But stuff still did happen in sports. We can't just call it quits because we don't have football anymore. It was a rough Sunday, though, wasn't it? No Super Bowl. No football of any kind. The NFL Network is just playing Super Bowl 52 on repeat over and over and over again. Eagles fans are watching it again, cheering, celebrating, eating horse manure, whatever, lighting things on fire. Patriots fans are watching it thinking maybe this time the refs will give us better calls. It's not quite the same, is it? I mean, we'll adjust. Like, we'll get past not having football anymore. But the week right after the Super Bowl, it's kind of rough. I struggled a little bit yesterday trying to figure out things to watch. Just not quite the same. Now, we did have some breaking sports news come out this weekend, though. Despite there not being that much to watch, we did have some breaking sports news. First off, in NFL news, the Indianapolis Colts have finally gotten themselves a head coach. Yes, very, very nicely done, finally. You know, after New England Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels said yes to them and then bailed on them last week, the Colts have now officially named Philadelphia Eagles offensive coordinator Frank Reich their new head coach. And not to get too far ahead of ourselves, this time it looks like Frank has actually agreed and he's actually going to show up and everything, just like a real job. Now, when you think of how that story went down and you think of how that all went down with McDaniels, you might get the idea that the Colts have settled for a lesser coach. Because there's no question that Josh McDaniels has, in spots, a very impressive resume, I guess. Well, in New England, he does. And unless the guy is just a complete idiot, he had to have learned something from his head coaching experience here in Denver. I mean, if nothing else, McDaniels learned that he really, really is not allowed to film opposing teams' practices, right? I think the NFL told him, I know we told you this in New England, and we fined you, and we pulled draft picks and all that stuff, but despite what the Boston media says, we aren't just picking on the Patriots. It's not allowed. So hopefully the idiot has at least learned that. But you would think he learned a number of things from being a head coach, from seeing the mistakes that he made. But here's the thing about Josh McDaniels. I honestly think Frank Reich might be better. I think he might be the best guy available, especially for the Colts anyways. And this isn't coming from a Broncos fan that hates Josh McDaniels. I thought he made some obviously huge mistakes while he was here, but I understood some of the moves that McDaniels made while he was in Denver. Think about the moves he made that he kind of gets blasted over. I understand the Spygate stuff. I get that. He should have gotten in trouble for that, and he should have got fired for that. I get that. But think of the other moves that Josh McDaniels made. He got rid of Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall. Yeah, that doesn't really make you crazy, does it? Like, any one of us would get rid of them yesterday if we had the chance. The teams that they currently play for want to get rid of them or have gotten rid of them. Every team they've gone to since has wanted to get rid of them. So is Josh McDaniels crazy for wanting to get rid of them? No, I don't think he was. I think that was probably a good move. But I want you to think about what Frank Reich did this past season in Philadelphia. Because remember, the Eagles were rolling. They were rolling along. He has Carson Wentz playing at an MVP level before he was lost for the season with that knee injury. Everyone was looking at Carson Wentz saying, hey, that's the next superstar. That's the guy. Frank Reich was the guy getting him ready. But when Carson Wentz goes down with the knee injury, everyone says, okay, well, that's the end of that. It's over. The Eagles will be gone in the divisional round of the playoffs. Yes, their defense is still tough, but come on, Nick Foles. What is Nick Foles going to do? There's no way the Eagles are doing anything. And immediately after the injury, it kind of was starting to play out like that, wasn't it? Like, I know we tend to overreact and we tend to jump on these things, but when we looked at what the Eagles were doing after the Carson Wentz injury, it was kind of looking like everybody had gotten it right. The Eagles were stumbling down the stretch. They barely beat Oakland. They lost to Dallas at home. And Nick Foles, let's get this on the table. Nick Foles was awful. It wasn't like, eh, no, he's kind of not sharp. No, he was terrible. In the final two games of the season, Nick Foles went 23 of 49. He averaged 101 yards passing per each of those games. He threw one touchdown. He threw two interceptions. Hey, everyone looked at Philadelphia coming down the stretch. They're going to lose at home to Atlanta in the first round of the playoffs. And they almost did, to be honest. They almost did. They had to scrape together that 15-10 win. And you could see, okay, they got that win, but the end is near for Philly. They're almost done. Foles wasn't terrible against Atlanta. He was efficient. He didn't turn the ball over, but he wasn't spectacular either. We all looked at it and said, okay, they got by Atlanta, but big deal. We know who Atlanta is. They're going to get theirs the next round. And then what in the world did Frank Reich do to Nick Foles? Did he like get some fairy dust and sprinkle it on him? Did he give him some sort of lucky rabbit's foot? I don't know what happened to Nick Foles, but Frank Reich did something. Because in the NFC Championship and in Super Bowl 52, Nick Foles, think of what he had just done, was an insane 54 of 76 with 725 yards. He had six touchdowns and just one interception. And the guy, Frank Reich, that helped Foles completely change his game that drastically is now going to work with Andrew Luck? Yeah, that might work. Frank Reich kind of seems like he gets it, doesn't he? And to take a player that is struggling, to take a player that is looking at everybody going, man, I don't know. I can't figure this out. I'm having a hard time. I'm thinking about retiring. Don't forget that Nick Foles was considering retirement. Frank Reich seems to figure that all out. When you look at Andrew Luck, you see some kind of comparable things there, don't you? Now, when we think of Josh McDaniels, you're working with the best of the best. I mean, come on, right? What does he really have to do to fix anything Tom Brady does? Hey, Tom, do better something. Don't wear those Uggs with those jeans. It doesn't match. I mean, what's he really doing? So I honestly think that while everyone looks at this and says they had to settle for Frank Reich, I think Frank Reich might be the perfect guy for the Indianapolis Colts job. The Colts might have gotten very, very lucky when Josh McDaniels told them no. And I do think this could be a more significant loss for the Philadelphia Eagles than anyone might think. Hey, coming back, we are going to look at a few of the other happenings in the world of sports that took place this weekend. The Cleveland Cavaliers looked completely different. The Winter Olympics were, well, the Winter Olympics. And we have another college sports coaching scandal. Well, sort of. So in other NFL news, Seattle Seahawks cornerback Richard Sherman says he expects to be back with the Seattle Seahawks next season. And he revealed that he has been serving as his own agent for at least a year. Of course, Sherman's coming off that surgery to repair a torn Achilles, and he's entering the final year of his contract, which includes a non-guaranteed $11 million base salary for this upcoming season. Now that, combined with Sherman's age and the injuries, because he does turn 30 this March, and how the Seahawks, it sounded like, were shopping Sherman and seeing if they could move him last season, has led to people thinking Seattle might move on from Richard Sherman. Now, I'm not doubting Richard Sherman's intelligence. I don't think he always thinks before he speaks. And I think he kind of tends to be, what's the word I'm looking for? A jerk of a teammate? A jerk to his coaches? I think he is a very, very intelligent guy. But I'm going to kind of lob this one out there and you take it for whatever it's worth. Hey, Richard Sherman, be very careful with that whole I'm my own agent thing. Because we've seen guys who say, I'm my own agent, and they're getting into a business that is not their primary job, and then they get absolutely taken to the cleaners on the contract. Just throwing that out there. Be very careful. I know we all want to say how smart we are. We want to spout, hey, by the way, I'm also my own agent. Yeah, well, we saw just a few years ago, ex-Seattle Seahawk Russell Okung acting as his own agent. And that genius signed a deal with Denver for $0 in guaranteed money. Just saying. Richard Sherman, don't let me find out that you got conned to take some crap deal with like the Bengals or something because they gave you some silly 8-year deal, but they cut you after training camp and you got $50 in guaranteed money. And don't think it can't happen. Don't think it can't happen because they'll have you on your back like a turtle and it will happen. Be very, very careful putting your name out there as, oh, I'm my own agent. Remember, you're not an agent. You're a football player, at least right now. Maybe he'll be an agent. Maybe he's very, very smart with this stuff. Be careful. We did have some Major League Baseball news this weekend, and it was a little bit interesting because the Chicago Cubs signed right-handed pitcher Yu Darvish to a 6-year, $126 million deal on Saturday, which should give the Cubs a leg up on everyone else in the NL Central, right? I mean, if nothing else, signing Darvish keeps teams like the Dodgers and the Brewers from getting him. But this signing tells me more than that. Well, for one, it tells me that the Cubs have kind of turned into the Yankees of the National League. They will spend money like crazy if they think it's going to help them win. They don't have any problem throwing down some serious money. They're spending as much money as the Yankees ever have. But it also tells me one other thing about the Chicago Cubs. It tells me they're very, very worried about Jake Arrieta. Because don't forget, Jake Arrieta is also a free agent. Why are they signing Yu Darvish instead of Arrieta? Why wouldn't you go get your own guy? You know him. You know what he has. You have a relationship with him. Why wouldn't you just go get him? Why would you go get Darvish? Unless they think Jake Arrieta has lost his best stuff. And unless they're worried also a little bit about John Lester. And then signing Yu Darvish does make some sense. Going to be interesting to watch baseball this year. And by interesting, I mean, I'll start watching it in maybe September. Hey, did you watch any of the Winter Olympics over the weekend? It was a little rough. Like, I watched the opening ceremonies, kind of saw some teams parade in, and I just had it on. I wasn't like glued to it. I just had it on and kind of keeping an eye on this country. Oh, how many athletes do they have? Oh, 3. And then this country, and they, oh, they got 275 athletes. Yeah, whatever. I'm watching the opening ceremonies. And then the next day, like, I get up on Saturday, and I'm going to watch some Olympics. I'm going to tune in. I'm going to check some of this out. And I know that the Olympics are going to get better, but man, some of these early events are a little rough. The figure skating. Whew, I can't watch figure skating. I have to just admit that as a man, I can't watch figure skating. The biathlon, the cross-country skiing, and then shooting, and then the curling. And here's the thing that I've decided. I don't know what I'm watching. Like, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I did have figure skating on Saturday night. They're skating. It's couples. Is it couple skating? Is that what it's called? I don't know. The guy flings the girl up in the air. She lands. And I think, well, that was pretty good. Like, she landed. She didn't crash or anything. And then whoever the announcer is, Scott Hamilton or whatever, comes on and he's telling us how bad it was. You'll notice that their skates came apart by more than 18 inches. That's a huge deduction, folks. I'm just telling you, that's a huge deduction. Is it? Huh. I mean, I guess this is how non-sports people feel every day that they hear sports things thrown at them. I guess that I've been the sports person talking, and this is how non-sports people feel, like they're going, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, I don't even understand what I'm looking at. I'm watching figure skating, and it's like me trying to read a newspaper in a foreign language. I don't know what I'm seeing. Can we just do this? Just a suggestion again. Here at the Daily Dose, we're in the business of helping people. Just a suggestion. Can we put together, and I don't care where they're from, just kind of a worldwide Olympic team of like weekend warrior types, like just normal average Joes. They like to go out and play a little bit on the weekend. They like to do some stuff. They're not unathletic. I don't want to get like the guy down at the bar that just fell off his bar stool. I'm not looking at that. I'm saying like weekend warrior kind of athletes. And can we put them on like a worldwide Olympic team? And then prior to the real competitors taking the stage, we let this team go first and just kind of display, here's what the average person would look like if they did that. Because here's the thing, especially with the Winter Olympics, I'm watching these events. Like, I'm watching curling on Sunday. And I'm thinking the same thing that you're probably thinking if you watched it. You know, I bet if I had a few beers, I'd be a pretty good curler. Like, I don't know if I could make it to the Olympics, but no, I probably could. I probably could make it to the Olympics. Like, if I did this all the time, and again, I had a few pops in me, I'm probably going to be like an Olympic curler. I could do that. It doesn't look that hard, does it? I mean, it's just shuffleboard. I've played shuffleboard at the bar before. So maybe, like, if we could see the weekend warrior team go first, and they're, like, falling down on the shuffleboard, or they're accidentally, you know, shooting the wrong person's target in the biathlon, or they're flying off that ski jump like the guy on Wide World of Sports, then maybe I would appreciate what these athletes are doing more. Because right now, I watch most of the Winter Olympic events, and I'm thinking, I might not be very good at these events because I simply have chosen not to pursue them. But if I was born with a huge ramp in my backyard, maybe I would be winning the gold in the luge too. Oh, and can you imagine that? Can you imagine like the average Joes on the luge or the bobsled? I mean, that would be epic. Because again, I can't tell how good you are at steering your bobsled. I can't tell how good you are at steering your skeleton little sled thing. But if you just put the average guy on it and we let him, you know, crash or her crash into the side of the wall and flip and do all this stuff, then I look, man, these guys really are good. I mean, I just watched that first team go, he liked to kill himself. The other guy cut himself in half, flipping himself over the side of the wall. Now I can really appreciate how good these guys are. Put someone out there that is just average. And I realize, I know what you're saying. That would be so dangerous. Come on. That would be dangerous. That's a huge health risk for the average Joes that go out and do it. I understand that. But it's a risk that I'm willing to let them take. I just think it would help my Olympic viewing experience if we could put just an average team out there. So another day, another college sports scandal, but this one involves Colorado State University and their men's basketball program. Yes, right here in my home state of Colorado. It seems that head coach Larry Eustace, yes, that Larry Eustace, the guy that was fired at Iowa State for drinking and kissing co-eds during a frat party, he's now, might not realize it, he's now been at Colorado State since 2012. And he's done okay. Nothing great. I mean, it's Colorado State. How good can you be? Come on. But in his time in Fort Collins, Eustace has gone 118-66. They've made the NCAA tournament once. It has now been revealed that a 2014 internal investigation has recommended Larry Eustace be fired due to creating a culture of fear and intimidation by emotionally and verbally abusing his players and staff. His behavior included throwing chairs and unopened soda cans, punting a basketball, and punching a whiteboard while in the presence of his team. However, when this all came out, CSU retained Eustace and required him to do some anger management sessions, apologize to his team, and he was under orders to follow a zero tolerance policy for directing profane language towards others or throwing anything or hitting anything. Violations by Eustace would result in termination from his job. Last week, CSU placed Eustace on administrative leave and promoted associate head coach Steve Barnes to interim head coach while the completion of another inquiry about Eustace's behavior. Okay, whatever. Put all that stuff aside. He's in trouble because he's yelling and acting like a fool. Few things. First off, it's not like Larry Eustace is assaulting anyone or touching anyone. He's not kissing co-eds. He's not touching anyone inappropriately. He's not assaulting anyone physically. He yelled at some kids and he threw some stuff. Stupid? Yes. Fireable offense? Today, in this era, yes. Now, one side note, I am always a little surprised by head coaches in sports who preach discipline and discipline and discipline to their kids and then act emotionally without any discipline whatsoever. We saw it time and time again with Bob Knight. His teams were the most disciplined teams in the country, and he acted like a four-year-old. So that always kind of, it's a little bit weird to me. As a former head coach, if I'm going to preach discipline, then I kind of have to act with some discipline too. But maybe that's just me. Here's where it gets even more bizarre in this story. On Saturday, Colorado State also suspended the interim head coach, Steve Barnes, just hours before their Mountain West game against San Jose State. Assistant coach Jace Hurl had to step in and coach the Rams for that game because it seems that Barnes had also said some mean things to players, and that is not allowed. On a brief side note, Hurl actually coached the Rams to a win over San Jose State on Saturday. That's right. Colorado State beat San Jose State, not with their third string players, but with their third string coach, which is at least kind of impressive, I guess. Players are now boycotting practices as the administration is trying to figure out buyouts for this coaching staff and trying to figure out what to do and who should we put in charge. We're not exactly sure. And here's the biggest takeaway that I have. Once again, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, Eustace should be corrected. But why are the adults screwing things up for the kids? I haven't heard of any kids reporting Eustace or reporting physical violence or whatever. Let him finish the season. And then if you want to fire him, fire him. If that's what you think is needed. But don't hold these players hostage while you try to figure out the most politically correct thing to do. It makes no sense. These poor kids, this is the last chance some of them ever get to play. Quit screwing with their athletic career and figure it out and put that stuff aside till the end of the season. Like I said, he's not touching players. He's not hurting players. He yelled and he threw some stuff and he acted like a three-year-old. Correct him, get the season done, and let these kids finish out their career. Doesn't make any sense. It's always the same thing. You have kids playing a sport and the adults come in and they're going to make sense of it all and they're going to figure it all out for them and they end up screwing it up and the kids are the ones that lose as usual. Hey, coming back, we did see the Cleveland Cavaliers make all those trades last week and completely rebuild their roster. And then we saw them kick off the new era for this group with a big win on Sunday. So here is the question. Are the Cleveland Cavaliers the team to beat in the East once again? Just a quick reminder, if you have any shopping you might need to do, maybe you just got some spare money, maybe you've got a friend with a birthday coming up, whatever it might be, make sure you head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose where you can find all the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. February's Loot Crate theme is called Protect. It features items from Black Panther, Fallout, The Expanse, and Pacific Rim Uprising. But if you go over to Loot Crate, you're going to find items from any franchise you can possibly think of. You want Harry Potter? They've got it. You want Rick and Morty? They've got it. You want Archer? They've got it. If you can think of it, they probably have it. The best part, of course, about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We will get you 10% off of your order. So last week, the Cleveland Cavaliers completely rebuilt their roster at the trade deadline. And I told you on Friday that I thought they were better off for the moves that they made. Hey, they sure looked like it on Sunday. They blew out the Boston Celtics in Boston on Paul Pierce Day. Paul Pierce, cannot be a happy person right now. Like, first off, he had to argue to even get his day. They tried to give his day to Isaiah Thomas. And then on Paul Pierce Day, the Celtics squat and just lay an absolute egg. Dude is just unappreciated. Anyways, the Cavs blasted the Celtics 121-99. I watched most of that game. It wasn't that close. And the difference in energy and the difference in defensive effort from the Cavs, it was night and day different from what we've seen from this group lately. Did the Cleveland Cavaliers pull this season from the depths of despair with those trades? And is this newly revamped team now capable of making a deep run in the playoffs? I mean, they held Boston to just 40% shooting, and Boston only shot 26% from three-point land. Is Cleveland back? That's going to be the question you probably saw on TV, or you turn on the radio, you're probably going to hear it there. Is Cleveland back? And you know what everyone's going to say? Yep, they're the team to beat. I don't think so. Not quite yet. Not yet. Because here's a not-so-secret secret in the NBA. The NBA plays way too many games. And on any given night, you will find five or six players from a given team that couldn't care any less about playing hard. And on the flip side of that, you had Cleveland on Sunday. They played with a ton of emotion. They played with intensity. They actually gave effort. And as impressive as that is, one game over the Celtics, who are playing kind of funky basketball themselves, it's not proof the Cavs are back to being a contender. Not yet. Not yet. I want to see you in a competitive game. I want to see you when chips are down and you're actually struggling. That's what I want to see. I want to see you play back-to-back games. See, emotion can carry an NBA team on any given night. We see that all the time. That's why you have these peaks and valleys. We see that in seven-game series. Game one, Team A was super hyped for it. Game two, they came back down to earth. We see it all the time. So you're going to start hearing that the Cavs are back. You're going to hear Cleveland is still the team to beat in the East. And on some level, they are, because they're the champs and they've been the champs and LeBron is there. And so on some level, they are the team to beat. But Sunday didn't prove it. All Sunday proved to me is how little effort the Cleveland Cavaliers have been putting out every single game they step on the floor. They don't care. They have not cared. They don't try. There's no effort. They don't play defense. They don't run the floor. So we can sit there and say, man, Cleveland looked great. Or we can look at it and go, how bad did you guys not want to play for the last couple months? Because you were terrible. You were getting run out of the gym by bad teams. That's what that tells me. Now, what I want to see is what Cleveland does over this next month. Remember, I set panic date at March 1st. We've seen them play one game. Did they look better? Without question. Are they better? I don't know yet. I saw their point guard actually get a couple defensive stops. Hey, that's a plus. I saw them actually get back on defense. Again, that's a plus. They're younger. They actually put some effort out there. But are they the team? Are they fully back yet? No, not yet. Not yet. Want to see a lot more of Cleveland. Let's keep an eye on them after the break this next weekend. And then we're going to kind of see where they're at when they've got to play some tough teams and they've got to go on the road and they've got to do it again and again and again prior to the playoffs. These next couple of months are going to be huge, and we're going to find out what Cleveland really is. Hey, we have a full week packed with more Daily Dose for you. Tomorrow on the show, we will be looking at a few college football recruiting classes from some notable programs that did not finish in the top 10. Plus, we will have Hump Day rankings this week. We will have overreactions of the week. And of course, a Daily Dose top 5 on Friday to get to. So we still have a ton of things to get to this week here on the Daily Dose. I have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose on your Monday. For all of you that share the show, for all of you that tweet the show, for all of you that give us feedback, it is very, very appreciated. Feel free to contact us with what's on your mind. Email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com. Or go find us over on Facebook and Twitter. Those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Monday.